Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Being Yourself podcast. Welcome to the Being Yourself podcast. Today, I have a very special guest whom I've had the absolute pleasure of getting to know for the past 7 or 8 months or something like that. He is an inspiring individual who dedicates himself to the St. Petersburg community. Aaron, welcome to the Being Yourself podcast.
Well, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you, and I'm excited for our conversation today. I think it's going to be one of the highlights of so far of my podcast experience here with the Being Yourself podcast. But I wanted to kind of start off with allowing you to introduce yourself. If you wanted to talk to introduce yourself to the listeners, who you are, whatever you want to share.
Certainly. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Very glad to join you this morning. So as you mentioned, I'm Aaron Bryce. I currently serve as president of CONA, which is the Council of Neighborhood Associations. Born and raised here in St. Pete, attended St. Petersburg College for my bachelor's degree. Currently involved in my own neighborhood association as well, the Crossroads Area Neighborhood Association, where I serve as president. Last year, I had the opportunity to go through the Leadership St. Pete program, St. Pete Chamber of Commerce. So that was a very rewarding and fulfilling experience where I was able to vastly expand my network and really engage with the community in a meaningful way. Additionally, since then, I've been able to do some other leadership development opportunities like Pinellas Citizens University with Pinellas County, and also the Tampa Bay Watch Leadership Council. So I've been keeping myself fairly busy between, CONA, Crossroads. I also serve on the board of the Sun Coast Tiger Bay Club. But as you mentioned, very passionate about serving this community and being involved with the many wonderful people who make up the community.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I love it. And I think that's what was your major, or what is your major at St. Pete College?
Yeah, so my major was in public policy administration, which was headed by the amazing Professor Kronschnabel over at St. Petersburg College. And I'm currently actually in grad school over at Nova Southeast University, where I'm pursuing a Master of Organizational Leadership, which I'm slated to complete here in the next, by December. So coming here in the final stretch.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's exciting. I remember my graduate days, and I think, as you know, I'm starting my PhD program now in the fall. So it's exciting. I love it.
Yes, I think I don't envy you having to enter that next phase, but I'm very proud of you and excited for that next journey for you as well.
Yeah, I think I'm a big advocate for education, and I think that's something that we both share, especially when we, get into the topic of community. But, who knows, maybe, later on you maybe it'll be Dr. Aaron Bright.
Not before Dr. Centrone, but who knows, maybe.
Who knows? Maybe we can do it together. We can just, walk the stage together.
There you go. Love it.
Wonderful. And, one of the things that I love about this podcast and the way I envisioned this podcast was just really getting to know someone, individuals, having conversations. And I always envision us having just discussion, drinking coffee or tea or whatever. A quick little icebreaker question for you. If we were at a coffee shop, there's so many in St. Petersburg that are absolutely amazing, and I still haven't even gotten to know that many of them. I've only been at St. Pete for a year. You're a native of St. Pete. But if we were to go to a coffee shop, what coffee shop would that be in St. Petersburg? And then what would be your to-go drink?
Wow. So with as many breweries and coffee shops we have in the city, it's almost, when you ask that question, it's almost like a bigger question than people might think. But I would say we have a great few selections here on the west side of St. Pete. Certainly the Crumb Factory, which has great coffee, but also some of the best pastries in all of St. Pete. And then, of course, your classics like Craft Cafe, which has both location downtown and on the west side. And then we have the Blend, too, which is increasingly popping up multiple locations throughout St. Pete. But there are too many to name, and they're all wonderful and unique in their own way. Typically, when I go, I like a nice iced mocha kind of drink, usually something a little bit cool just because it is really hot in Florida all the time. So, yeah, I would probably do an iced mocha at any and all of our wonderful coffee spots around the city.
I love that. You know, one of my dreams has always been to have my own coffee shop. And I've always envisioned just having coffee from all over Latin America, have art and make it a really cool experience out there. But yeah, love it. Thank you for sharing. Maybe I can have you be part of my board and help me out with that.
Yeah,
many of the locations and everything in St. Pete. Who knows? It might be really cool.
Definitely. Yeah, there's definitely no storage coffee shops in St. Pete, but it kind of fuels this innovation of where people have to really get creative about the different styles and ways to make it unique and stand out so that people will come to their coffee shop, because it is slightly competitive now. So, but I think that does fuel innovation and creativity, which is certainly a good thing. So, for example, your idea of maybe having one that's more Latin American themed or something like that, where that would probably do really well. But that's the beauty of St. Pete, is our diversity, right? So we get to experience some of these wonderful businesses and even the coffee shops that are each their own unique, special place.
I love that. I love that you mention it and from that perspective of it having to be creative as individuals, right? Because I think there's room for all of us, especially when we're trying to, you know, create our own idea or bring some type of establishment that you look around, you're like, oh, wow, there's so many of those, or there's so many podcasters, or so many YouTubers, there's so many, all these different people doing the same thing. But it does force us to have to think about, how do we want to make it our own? How do we want to make it creative? How do we want to stand out? And the great thing, like you said about St. Petersburg, is yes, we have so many, but they're all their own unique style that it warrants the desire and the need to go check them out, because they're all so different. Thank you. Again, thank you for sharing. Thank you for participating in the Little Icebreaker. You know, one of the things when we're kind of thinking about doing this podcast, and I know all the work that you do within community, and not only, right, being the president of Kona, being involved with your own neighborhood association, you know, even thinking about your decision to get a undergraduate degree in public policy, right, and administration, and now organizational leadership in your master's program. I'm kind of wondering, as a starting point, as we converse about your love and dedication for community, where did that come from for you? Was there a specific time that you feel like you can recollect or connect back to and say, you know, this must have been the time where I figured out this is what I love and what I enjoy?
Yeah, so interesting question. I uniquely found myself very engaged in the public process and community work fairly early on. As a teenager, I got involved in a political club. Even at 19, I was elected vice president of my neighborhood association in Eagle Crest. So again, very early up in my age, I decided to get active in the community. And so from there, has organically grown, and there's been multiple different opportunities that have kind of culminated into where I am currently. But it stems from a deep love of where I live. So having been born and raised at St. Pete, and getting to see it turn into the city that it was, into the city that it is today, being a part of that growth, and really being able to have a voice, being a part of the process as far as that growth is concerned. So for me, neighborhood associations offer the greatest opportunity to be involved. It's a nonpartisan, typically non-controversial platform in which you can engage with many different individuals across the community, many of which are your exact neighbors who live, you know, right down the street from you or right across the street from you. So that unique opportunity to engage in that way, I think, is meaningful. And it's especially meaningful in a time and age where there is so much division and there is so much controversy surrounding different groups and different organizations. So neighborhood associations have become this almost safe space of civic innovation and just really a engine for creative energy. For example, in our neighborhood, we just recently got neighborhood identity signs placed around in Crossroads area, which serve as a it serves as a measure to greet you when you are entering the neighborhood and announces that you are in the Crossroads area neighborhood. The surrounding neighborhoods around us, Jungle Prada, Eagle Crest, Jungle Terrace, and Azalea, all had some form of neighborhood identity signs. But my neighborhood, Crossroads area, did not. And so we as a neighborhood decided that that was something worthwhile, that that was something that was beneficial, and that would add to the character and value of our neighborhood. And so for me, it's kind of been this natural process of growing in my civic and community engagement, all the way from a 19-year-old as vice president of Eagle Crest to now 28-year-old president of Crossroads and president of Kona as well. But it really is so rewarding and so fulfilling to be a part of a process that when you do accomplish something like as simple as a neighborhood identity sign, it elicits such joy and elicits such pride in your community. And that's a beautiful thing. So for me, it has been this aggregation of those types of things that at the end of the day, I look back and I say, there's just very few other things I find such joy out of doing. So I'll continue to follow that pursuit and find different ways to serve my community. But it always stemmed from pure love for the city that I was born and raised in and that I would like to see continue to grow in a sustainable and successful way.
Did you, one of the things that I always talk to students as an educator is the importance of having a mentor or some type of a positive inspirational figure. You know, when I'm thinking about your experience, was there someone or something or that inspired you, there's mentorship, a figure that kind of just brought you into this kind of world of community policy and being active and within our little government here at St. Pete, not generally at St. Pete, but just in general.
Certainly. So I think mentorship is critical. I think everyone in the world should have a mentor, and not just one mentor, many mentors. There's just infinite value in leaning on the expertise and the wisdom and the experience of those who have come before us and who might be able to offer us, their insight. So for me, my greatest mentor, of course, would be my mom. So she passed away in 2017 from brain cancer. But throughout my entire life, she raised me to be someone who loved our community. You know, she herself was an attorney at one point. She was also a teacher at one point. She herself was a veteran who went on to work at the Department of Veteran Affairs over on Bay Pines. So she spent her life in service to others in these very different categories. But for me, it left the ultimate inspiration, the ultimate roadmap for me to be inspired by. And so for me, it's an incredible opportunity to live out the same type of service and virtue and contribution to the community that she was able to do. I do it a little bit differently in my own way, but she served as my ultimate role model and inspiration as far as she served her community profoundly her entire life. And now I have the opportunity to do something similar in my own way. And so I intend to continue to move that forward and be a presence of service and commitment to our community.
I can definitely see how that ties in that inspiration from, your parents being such a public servant in a sense, right? So providing, as an attorney, as an educator, I mean, I'm an educator and I understand the importance of the work and how much it impacts the public and the service that we do. One of the things I don't know if I ever shared with you, but it's I actually just learned from just talking to you about your mother and passing and so on. And my dad, one of the things about my dad had passed back many years ago. I think I was about 15 years old. It was in 2004. And one of the things that about my dad that I think to this day has impacted me in terms of the way that I see community is he would be that person that if he saw you on the street and maybe your car broke down or he saw, you know, something was going on, he would be that person to just get there, ask you, do you need any help? Is there something I can do for you? You know, he was that type of person. And I think that's when we as individuals grow up around that kind of education in a sense, or just being exposed to that. I think as a community, when we think about community, I think we then put it out there because we see it, we see the benefit, we see it hands-on, we see it, you know, happening in our directly and impacting us, right? And I think that is one thing that is so important when we talk about community, that we need to get back to that, to really educate, really get out there and show to the community that this is possible, educate them and all those kind of things. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. And it's just to piggyback on what you said, you know, it's so profound, the impact that certain individuals can have in people's lives. So whether that's, you know, your father, my mother, we all have stories of these incredible role models who mentored us or who inspired us. And as a result, we are able to go on and do these different things in our community. And I think it's so important to remember that, because service to the community, it's personal. It's tied to individual personalities and histories and personalities. And so for us, you know, even at Kona, we have an incredible board, which you serve on, with wonderful people who each have their own stories. They're all from different backgrounds, different neighborhoods. And I think that, again, speaks to the beauty and the importance of our diversity as a city. And again, tying in that importance of having that mentor and that role model, which for all of us, it's important. And regardless of who it is, it's going to be different for all of us. Regardless of who it is, it's something that those lessons and those lessons leave an impact on us, and it allows us to leave an impact on others. And that's powerful.
Absolutely. There's an actual study when we actually do something nice and we give back, right? It actually starts a ripple effect. Then people see it and then they want to give it back. And then they want to do something nice, right? It's an actual, you know, it does happen. It's part of us as individuals, as human beings.
Oh, yeah. It makes me think back to when that trend was going on where you're at the Starbucks in the drive-thru, you pay for your coffee and you pay for the person behind you, right? A simple, small example, but demonstrative of exactly what you're talking about. So then there are many other examples of that throughout society that I think we could maybe value and get more out of if people were able to lean into that a little more
often. I mean, it's even as simple as just holding a door for someone.
Yeah.
You know? And I think those are the little things that I feel like sometimes as a community, as just a society, that in many instances, it gets lost in certain perspectives, right? And I think those are the little things that need to be brought back and people need to be mindful. And which leads me to my other thought of when we talk about service, one of the things that, you know, I'm from Puerto Rico, and one of the things that I love about the Latin American culture, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but also me having the experience of traveling to different countries and seeing the dynamics of different cultures. One of the things about here in the United States is when we talk about community and service, there is this little bit of an ideology of people here, Americans, United States, are all about me culture, and the we component gets kind of pushed to the side because everyone is just on their own. They're not really thinking about their neighbors, or whether it's politics, whether it's policies, whether it's whatever it is, or getting rich. It's all about me. And I'm wondering your take on that, and how does that play a role in terms of your work and understanding maybe the difficulty of saying to people, we need to get to a community-minded approach instead of a it's all about me approach.
Absolutely. So that's kind of a huge issue even in our country today, right? So this notion of individual versus community, servicing people at large versus pockets of communities. So for me, it comes down to, it doesn't get any more personal for people than their communities. So people might conflate the two, but they are actually very inextricably intertwined. And in my opinion, when you serve your community, that helps to serve you individually, but it also helps to serve others. So you're able to satisfy both at the same time. If you get involved in community, you get to hone your own skills, you get to develop your own relationships, expand your network, walk away with more, a greater understanding of issues, whatever the case may be in whatever environment we're discussing. Again, maybe neighbor associations, you putting yourself forward to do this enables you to become a stronger, better leader, which is beneficial for you and for everyone. Additionally, when you look at certain issues like flooding, for example, which is very much impactful to us all across St. Pete and really even Florida. But when there's a hurricane warning or there's a tropical storm warning or these major notifications going out about inclement weather, people are not worried about what political party, what neighborhood, what background. So that type of thing kind of unites us. And so whereas we might have been more individualized or in these compartments or these silos, we're now working together as a community to be safe and to stay alive in some cases. So again, I think there is maybe a misconception that community work and individual pursuit of success or service maybe can't work together, but there couldn't be more synergy between the two. And so I would always offer that people who might feel it's one or the other, it doesn't have to be. And that, in fact, there's tremendous value in the collaboration of those two ideas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It brings me to that thought of when your neighbor does well, we all do well, right, as a community. And that's why it's so important that we look out for our neighbors, for our community, and make sure that they're doing well. It's the same concept that I think that people have this idea that if we have social programs, for example, one of the things that I appreciate about St. Pete is their initiative for affordable housing, public transportation, all these different services that they provide. And yes, there's people who are all for it, love it. There's some people who don't want all these public service programs because I think there's this ideology that, the money for those programs are coming from the taxpayers and I don't want to have to pay for that. And, that doesn't help me and all these kind of things. But there's actual studies that show that when we actually invest into these type of programs and we help others do better, it trickles down to all of us. And so to your point of that individual goals and individual attainment or whatever that might be, the community helps both of those. When we help the community, it also helps your own individual goals and accomplishments.
Definitely. And I would say that we are unique in St. Pete in that we are an incredibly diverse city and an incredibly diverse state. But we uniquely have this balance of individuals who have lived here a long time and stay the same. And you have a lot of people who've moved here who would like to continue moving some of the more forward-thinking ideas forward. So it's kind of this battle between the two. But I would contend that there is a lot more we're on the same page on than otherwise. And even in those situations where there might be disagreement on something like affordable housing or transportation, there's opportunity to better understand the other side and to come to some kind of compromise or mutual understanding of one another. So in our case, you know, the Sunrunner, they were different back and forth on how that was going to operate. And now it's kind of found this happy medium where folks over on the beach side are okay with it. The people downtown are still benefiting from it. And everyone in between is still using it. So for me, I live on the west side. I've used it to take to the beach. It has the opportunity to go downtown. It is a wonderful resource. And every time I've been on there, there's working people who work at our hotels, work at hospitality in these different roles. So it provides a tremendous benefit to them. And so I think people who recognize that certainly appreciate that and wouldn't want those individuals to lose that. And similarly, whether it's the affordable housing issue, the flooding issue, there's just many different areas where it seems more controversial than it is. Because people who live here in St. Pete have a really good handle on working together and working collaboratively. There's many different projects going on throughout the city that has the support and the buy-in of neighborhood associations, Chamber of Commerce, the city, even the county in certain areas. So these different areas where you have such coordination and collaboration, even on issues that might be perceived as controversial, like affordable housing or transportation, progress is being made here in St. Pete, here in Tampa Bay. And so I think that is, that illustrates that despite the difference of opinion on these issues, there is a desire to work together to get things done. And we've been able to do that here in St. Pete. And so I would always encourage that philosophy and that way of thinking, because it's always infinitely better to be able to work together, get things done, as opposed to getting locked in on disagreements or the details of what could or couldn't be. There's just so much more we agree on and we can actually accomplish when we work together. And so that's something I'm very proud to say our community does a really great job at. And I will continue to always advocate us continuing to do so.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've definitely seen that. I've only been in St. Petersburg for actually a year now. Actually, it was a year this past week, actually. And I had made a post on Facebook that a year ago I purchased my house here in St. Pete. So I was very excited because even when I moved to Florida back, it'll be almost 4 years ago, and I got to know St. Pete during that time, I kept thinking of St. Pete. I was like, oh my God, I love St. Pete. I want to go to St. Pete. So we would always come travel to St. Pete and hang out and check out different places. And I didn't necessarily think that, I would be purchasing a home in St. Pete. I actually did not think it was going to be attainable for me. But the opportunity, was there. And it's so interesting how, sometimes some people, they believe in that, manifest kind of the energy, the destiny. You sit, you speak it out and it'll come, happen, and here I am, in St. Pete, and it's been a year now. But I agree with you. I think it's there's definitely a lot of great things that are happening here, and we see it as a community leader myself as well, and understanding that I'm also someone who is not originally from St. Pete and didn't grow up here, didn't grow up in Florida, and I've also have seen in my community individuals who are so content with how life has been, their community. They don't want any outsiders. They don't want other people coming in, and they think that we're changing the community or the neighborhood and so on. And I think in life, one of the things that I think is so important that I always try to educate individuals is the importance of growth and change, because change can be good for all of us. And then, yes, it's uncomfortable in many perspectives. Some people it's more than others, but change is important and we need to embrace it and continue to have that voice, continue to fight for what you believe in. And when you think about history, especially even the history of Florida, there's been a lot of change, and all that change has been, for the good of the community for the most part. I'm not going to get into all the other stuff, but for the most part, there's been a lot of great community benefit to a lot of the changes that we've had. And bring in different people, ideas. You know, that's what happens when we have that change of, you know, population from wherever they're coming from. That brings new ideas, new creativity, new thoughts to think about and challenge ourselves. You know, one of the things I was talking to one of my coworkers is, how are we challenging students so that they get away from their mindset that they had, that they've grown up in this little bubble? We need to make sure that we're challenging each other.
Definitely, yeah. It's interesting because, to your point, you know, so many people are conditioned to think and operate a certain way within their specific environments as they grow up. And then when you look at a city like St. Pete, you know, anyone who steps out of their bubble into this bubble, I mean, this is an incredibly diverse bubble. I mean, St. Pete is such a has such a widespread range of people from all different backgrounds, and that contributes to its success. So for us, that growth and that change, despite some of the challenges that come with it, has translated to a brand new world-class pier. It's translated to other incredible opportunities around the city of St. Pete, where new coffee shop, new breweries, new museums, the entire fabric of St. Pete that people enjoy so much has just exploded. And that is a result of people coming here and taking a chance on St. Pete. And I think that's a very special thing, that you have so many people who have a desire to do that in this city, in this community. And so I would always offer that to folks who maybe are apprehensive about some of the growth. Yes, there is there are growing pains that come along with it, and there is a better way, which is, you know, not to handle it. There's, you know, we should be growing in a sustainable and responsible way. But at the same time, we can't discount the importance and the value of all the wonderful new people who have come to our city because of that, yourself included. I mean, we have an incredible new board made up of many people like yourself who just came to St. Pete recently, as well as people who have lived here their entire lives. And so that blend of perspective really lends to a more cohesive and more just a more connected community. And so I think there's tremendous value in that. And I'd always encourage people to really take a second to evaluate both sides and understand that there's value in leaning on our diversity and welcoming these new people into our city who have become, you know, as Mayor Welch said, we are St. Pete, right? So all of us together make up this incredible community. And so I would always encourage people to, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, but, you know, hang in there. We're a strong and resolute community that's made up of some incredibly passionate and hardworking individuals who really want to see this city succeed. And as we continue to grow and as we continue to experience that growth, I think there's a lot of opportunities to continuously improve our community and lean on the strength of our new incoming residents who add such tremendous value to our city.
I love that you bring up We Are St. Pete. You know, I just recently was invited to a conversation with the mayor and a group of other Hispanic Latino community members across St. Pete. And so I see in my experience, and I've only been here for a year, and so I've seen personally that interest on We Are St. Pete, right? Whether it's, you know, with the LGBTQ community, whether it's with the Black community, whether it's with the Hispanic community, I've seen it and I've been involved in it. However, I'm sure that there's individuals who may not feel that. And in many perspectives, I do sometimes feel that it also comes down to getting involved, right? If you put yourself out there, if you get involved, to really know what is going on, because many times there's individuals that I have conversations with, or they don't even know what's going on, or they're like, oh, I never knew this, or I've had this experience. But then I said, yes, but have you actually, you know, taken the time to, you know, check it out, do some research, or get yourself out there, go attend this event, or go this, do this, because the information out there, there's stuff going on, right? So I think for me, and my question is thinking about involvement, right? How are you, do you get others to get involved? And, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about you, and I've gotten to know about you, and I think I even noticed this in the really short period of the beginning when I got to know you, is your ability to really wanting to connect with different people. And I think that's great because they feel connected. They feel like, okay, you care, so on, right? So is that helps you with, you know, how do we get individuals involved? Do we need to get out there? We need to talk to these individuals. You know, how does that work for you?
Yes, yes, and yes. It's all about connection. And so for me, it's as simple as, are you going out to the community? Are you exposing yourselves to environments that you otherwise may not have been in? So for me, as president of Kona, and I'll just say this, you know, we have adopted a new motto, stronger together, right? And so that is all about connection, all about bringing people together. And so for me, the opportunity to visit a lot of the South St. Pete neighborhood that have historically, over the past few years, maybe not had the greatest relationship with Kona, and to work on rebuilding those relationships has been probably one of the most rewarding and worthwhile experiences I've had as president of Kona this year. And the reason for that is because there is such a tremendous benefit to taking the time to really understand those who come from different parts of our community. So people in South St. Pete, first of all, have some amazing neighborhoods, yours included down there. Some of the best parks in the city of St. Pete are in South St. Pete. It is truly a special place, and sometimes that can get lost in a lot of the activity and things that are going on all throughout the city, especially downtown. But what I have found is that there is such an important benefit that can be identified when you do go out to the community and you really engage in that authentic and meaningful way. You walk away with a better understanding of where those people sit and where they're at socially, politically, economically. You just walk away having a better understanding of who they are and where they're at. But beyond that, it also allows you to, it informs your decision making in the future. So for me, I've been able to take the lessons I've learned from these experiences back to Kona. And as a result, we're working on a South St. Pete community celebration. We had the Kona Community Conference at Foundation for Healthy St. Pete, which had over 70 plus people in attendance talking about the different issues that they're facing in South St. Pete. And so for me, it really stems from a innate desire to connect with people and really understanding where they're at, where they come from, what's important to them, and then translating that into action or activity that can be beneficial. So for us, it was learning about South St. Pete, finding a way to bring them back into the fold. And again, the Kona Community Conference, collaborating with them on the South St. Pete community event, it opens all these different doors for growth and for collaboration and for becoming more connected with one another, which I think is at the heart of any community. You really need to understand one another before you can work together. And so for me, it's been a unique opportunity to help pull these neighborhoods back into Kona and offer them something that in the past maybe they didn't understand or they weren't offered the right way. But Kona and the neighborhoods are meant to be a resource to one another for each other. And so for me, I think it's important that we continue to foster those relationships both within Kona, both within, as well as within our neighborhoods. But that is a lesson that I think can be applied from any individual to any number of communities. So again, at the bedrock, at the heart of it, it really comes down to connection and taking the time to understand those who come from a different path and walk a different, walk a different life than we do. But when you take the time to understand them and you work with them, it's no longer them, it's us together. And that's a powerful thing.
I love that. I am a huge advocate of when, especially now in the political spectrum that we're in, too many are just not taking the time to really listen to each other and understand, right? Because I can sit in a room and we can have this discussion as we are right now, and I'm listening to you. But am I really actively trying to understand you, right? And I think that's a huge component that is missing. And I really want people to understand the importance of, no, sit, actually listen to the individual and try to understand where they're coming from. Ask the questions that are necessary. You know, what has led you to believe that, or what has led you to have that experience, or what has happened, or so on. How did that impact you, right? Because we can learn from each other and really understand the individual rather than automatically becoming defensive or saying, nope, you don't believe in what I believe. No, you don't understand my point, because we're also concentrated on just getting our point across instead of actually listening. And I love how you took that to the point of, it's no longer just me, it's now us or we.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting you mentioned that. So I work for the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions, or ISPS for short, which is based out of St. Petersburg College. It's a nonpartisan political think tank that puts on educational programming that is intended to educate people on political, social, and economic issues. And at the core of what we do, it has to be civil discourse. It's all about convening conversations where differing perspectives can have a civil discussion and walk away with a greater understanding of the opposing view. And that those who attend are able to walk away with a greater understanding of both sides of the issue. And for me, I think that that speaks to what we need nationwide, probably at this point, is more of that. But I'm very honored and privileged to be in the role that I am to help convene those conversations. And so I take that mindset with me. I mean, it's with me everywhere. It's it's in my professional capacity at ISPS. It helps steer my leadership of Kona. And in other places as well. But I always have found that it is infinitely more productive to be, to work with your associates or your colleagues, than it is to try and fight them or, to even just get caught up in the weeds of the different issues you may have a differing opinion on. If you take the time to really sit down, have a civil conversation, understand the other side, it will be infinitely more productive than having a yelling match of extremes on either side. So I try to take that mindset wherever I go and share it as much as I can. I think this country needs more of that. We're far too divided. Unnecessarily, though, I would say that, again, there's so much more we have in common than we have that differentiates us. And so finding those commonalities, leaning into them, being willing to have, to your point, uncomfortable or tough conversations, but to still walk away with a greater understanding and sometimes even a greater respect of the other side, I think is so, so important.
I know we're coming up on our time, but I wanted to ask you if you could make any change or implement, I don't know, a policy or something here in St. Pete or just in general, right? And the sky's the limit, whatever. I know this is going to be one of those crazy questions. I typically don't even like when they ask me this question, but curious. You know, what would you do? What would you implement? What do you want to create if you could do whatever you wanted?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, certainly Kona is a part of that. So if I could wave a magic wand and instantly have every single neighborhood in the city of St. Pete become an active participatory member of Kona, that would be huge. And I don't say that to be even self-serving. I say that because stronger neighborhoods equal a stronger city. And so if there is a way that I could overnight transform every neighborhood into this engine of creativity, innovation, and civic engagement, I think that would be transformative for the city of St. Pete. And that's why I'm working very hard to rebuild our membership. You know, last year we were at 10 or 15 members. Now we're at 43. And I think there's probably around 100 associations, neighborhood associations. There are even more when you count business associations. But we're making huge progress. And the translation of that is greater engagement, better relationships, more meaningful connectivity to the neighborhood. And I think that's a powerful thing. When you have more uplifted, more elevated, more powerful, more organized neighborhood, you have more community events, you have greater civic participation, you have more engaged citizens, all of which are incredibly important for the health, the civic health of a community. That being said, I would also love to, if I could, you know, wave a magic wand and solve our housing crisis or affordable housing crisis. Food insecurity is a huge issue that I wish, you know, we could eliminate altogether. So there's always going to be policy issues that, I would wish I could wave a magic wand and solve instantaneously. But one thing I'll say is we have a tremendous opportunity in this city to actually make really great progress on some of those issues. As long as we continue to work together and as long as we are able to continue having these civil conversations like you and I are having today. So I'm excited about St. Pete's future. I think another thing I'll say, more art. I always implore more art, especially on the west side or maybe even South St. Pete or even North St. Pete. I know downtown has a lot of murals going on, a lot of art. I would love to see more of that shift west, south, and northward. But that being said, there's so much going on in St. Pete, and I think it is already kind of expanding across the city. But what I would like to see is more neighborhoods continuing to be involved, more of the new people who are moving into St. Pete getting involved in their neighborhoods, and then those neighborhoods joining Kona, being engaged citywide. Again, all of that speaks to the civic health of a community. And so I would love to see that continued progression of our community.
I agree. I think it's, and what's so honorable about what you said and getting those membership to the Kona, it may not seem like a huge, policy or, something, but it's the little things that make a huge impact that people don't understand, and it's just so simple little things. And I want to end it in Mahatma Gandhi's famous quote, be the change you want to see in this world. Right. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate that. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I hope to continue having more conversations. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a fantastic conversation on some very important issues in the city, but you're doing a great job curating these conversations, so please keep them up. I'm very honored to be a part of it, but thank you for having me.